This show is brought to you by Osino Resources.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 8/21/19. Month is going by rapidly, just 10 more days left. And you know that most market disruptions occur in the fall. We don't know why, but our good friend Bob Hoy went back in history and found virtually all credit busts, market disruptions occurring with their greatest force in the fall. Will that happen this fall? I don't know the answer to it, but we do have this trade war going on. What are your thoughts about the trade war? You think it's as big a deal as it's made out to be by the mainstream media, or is it just another day in Donald Trump's presidency? Tell us your opinion. Share it with us. Email me, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, our good friend John Grace is with us. You can find him at ybpoor.com. John, welcome back. So trade war, what's the deal here? You think we still have more tariffs to go, huh?
Well, I mean, who knows, right? And that's the whole thing about the trade war. I mean, if we look at the first one we can study, Kerry, that, of course, was the Smoot-Hawley Act back in 1930. And I think it was a 40% tariff on 90,000 incoming goods to protect our farmers. Sound familiar? And the economist that I listen to the most suggests that that might have been the singular catalyst that caused the U.S. to move from a great recession into the Great Depression, because it backfires. And it's kind of like, the best way to put it is, you know, remember when we were kids, you could play with fireworks on the 4th of July. Everybody enjoyed it up and down the street. And then every year or so, you'd hear about some neighbor's house that got burned, either a lot or a little. But that was an unintended consequence when we were all having a good time and you wake up and somebody's house is smoldering. So that's my real concern here. It's easy for us to say, well, you know, they need to do things our way. You know, let's respect where they are. Let's see, they've only been around for, what, 4,000 years, China? And the president or the dictator is in for how long? Life? And I really think I'm going to just make him drink my Kool-Aid. Maybe not. So I'm treating it very seriously. If we look, as you mentioned, you know, look at last year. It was, what, September 21st through Christmas Eve. Markets just out of the blue, off 20%. It would not surprise me to see we repeat that. And we are suggesting that investors prepare for a 27% crash sometime this year.
Yeah, really. Well, hey, you know, fall is always the time. It's an interesting thing. Like I said, research has been done. We've seen it going back hundreds of years that these crashes take place in the fall. Do you have any theories about that?
I do not. It might be, it's just, you know, everybody just got back from vacation, and I don't have any rationale or, you know, hypothesis about how it happens at that particular time. But I will also say, to me, it's not about the prediction or the understanding the logic behind whatever the event might be. It's more about the preparation, because if you're ready, who cares if you're right, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in New York and there's a hurricane and you are prepared for it, well, you'll be able to tell your story. Or California, firestorm, earthquake, you want to tell the story. Or the market goes to heck, right? You want to be able to tell the story. Nobody can see the future, but you don't need to see the future to be prepared for it. So yeah, you know, the ceilings we saw, what, 27.5, March 2018, we dropped, I think, to 24,000 on the Dow. And then just before Christmas, it was 22,000. We would not be surprised to see the Dow close at some point in this equation around 20,000. So that's where we think, that's where we've been, that's where we think it looks like we're going, thanks to Census Bureau and debt research.
So what about, is this going to be temporary? Because getting a 20% correction really isn't that unusual, although it has been for the past 10 years. We haven't had a whole heck of a lot of them. But, right. You know, in the past, the markets just bounced back.
Yes, Only I'm going to suggest that we look at the future and let's look at it like this. At the end of the day, Carrie, it is my point of view that if we want to get a sense for what's really going on in the economy, and by that I mean not just the national economy, but the global economy, we need to look at the buying behavior of ordinary consumers, not the rich people that you know, or you probably are, but the ordinary people, the Homer Simpsons of the world, and see what they're buying or out or not buying based on age. Okay, so here we are. Globally, we have more people 65 and older than we do 5 and younger. We have never been here before. So all the other times when we bounce back, I'm going to submit it was because you had people for the most part buying everything. But as we get to our 65s or 70s, and let's be honest here, I mean, you know, maybe need for a drink here, but let's remind each other, it's Father Time and Mother Nature that hold the true Trump cards, sorry. And, you know, it's fun over now. We're usually extinguished on our way to heaven in the 80s. So, yeah. I mean, you know, and now, let's see, the primary driver of this whole U.S. Globalization expansion has been what? Boomers. And they're what, 55 to 73? Here we go. They typically sell their houses at 78, typically pass on around 80. It'll take 20 years. But you tell me, it is difficult for me to imagine how we might just bounce back when you've got ultimately 25% of the population who go to heaven.
Well, there's the millennials. I guess we could pin our hopes on them, right?
Well, we can, but... you know, and I think they may click in, if you will, once prices get more attractive as far as their perspective is concerned. But when we talk about, you know, well, it's just going to rebound, I'm saying to folks, let's look at the worst case scenario. That, of course, is Great Depression 1. Market was off 89% and the New York real estate was off 69%. That happened. That's not on the internet. That's in the history books. In the same 24-month period, 1929, 1932 or so. So it took the stock market 20 years, Carrie, to get back even. Imagine that. One source I have says it took New York real estate 4 decades to get back to even. Imagine that. And they happen at the same time. This isn't, the Twilight Zone. This is history. So to me, it makes sense to look at everything from this, not in terms of what I think is going to happen. How bad do I believe it could happen, and how well do I need to prepare myself so it won't hurt so much? And let's recognize it, using the weather. What season always follows winter? Well, that would be spring, right? But we have to get through winter. It's going to be a long, hard winter. But I don't know how we're going to avoid it.
Yeah, well, I'm inclined to agree with you. It's just I expected it so long ago, and yet we had 10 years of a rapidly expanding stock market, rapidly increasing asset prices, real estate, the everything bubble. And
everything.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like it could go on a while longer. Maybe you're right. Hey, in the long run, we're all dead, like John Maynard Keynes said. Right? But, you know, maybe...
But we won't care then.
Yeah, maybe that's not going to happen this time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, maybe this time really is different. You know, the other thing is, look at the dollar. Now, I've coined a new term for the dollar. Everyone's saying, well, it's the cleanest shirt in the laundry. It's the best looking horse in the glue factory. I think it's the Taj Mahal of Baltimore.
Okay.
Right? As long as the Taj is still standing, then they can keep playing these games, keep printing money to their heart's content. It's when that collapses, and it looks like everything else will collapse before the dollar, which is to be expected. In times of turmoil, the reserve currency is always the currency that does best. And this one is no exception. I tend to think there could easily be some kind of financial crisis in the fall, not led by the U.S. this time, but probably in Europe. And I think you're seeing like gobs of flight capital coming to the U.S. from all over the world, and Canada being somewhat the beneficiary as well, although resource-based economy, it's gotten hit. So, I'm just not sure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Be sure to take a look at Ross Beattie-backed Osino Resources, a gold explorer in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is near two producing gold mines. Osino's management team previously developed and sold one of them to B2 Gold. Its founders and management are experienced mining professionals. In the past 7 years, they successfully developed and sold two companies. Osino's excellent shareholder base includes Ross Beattie, owning 20%, insiders at 5%, and resource capital funds with 8%. Drills are turning, exploration is ongoing, so you'll definitely want to pay attention to Osino. It trades in New York under the ticker symbol OSILF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. Find out more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, yeah, no one's sure, but that's why I say if we're ready, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to be right when you're ready, but you want to bounce, whether it's falling out of a tree, falling out of a chair, or watching the market drop 50 or 57%, which, of course, that happened twice in the same decade. And yeah. I'm saying, suppose the next time is worse than what we have seen. Don't go by what you've seen. Again, go back to Great Depression. Use those numbers. I think those are the worst we have seen, and they're part of our experience. But when you look at all of these negative rates for government debt, okay, it seems like that's the black hole that right. has a gravitational pull that's bigger than all of these issues, okay?
That's a great point, negative rates. Yeah, the negative rates, I think, are the death knell of everything. And even if the U.S. doesn't go negative, it's not going to. Another reason why more money is gravitating to the U.S. because you could borrow in your own country for next to nothing and then get a 2%. Well, right now, I take it back. It's down to the 10-year, John, is down to 1.55%. So you still can borrow in your country, right?
Right.
And if you're credit worthy, which is a big if, and buy treasuries, that is called the carry trade. It's worked in Japan for decades until it didn't anymore. But I think we're getting back to the carry trade.
Well, the governments are going to do everything they can to forestall a depression because they have absolutely no tools whatsoever. But if it happens, the question becomes, what can the individuals do? And it's just painful. But, the other side of the equation is, on a per capita basis, Great Depression one, more Americans became millionaires than any other time in history.
Correct.
So if that's true, it suggests to me that the only way one could have weathered that storm that well is that they had to be ready. And by that, I mean, what is it? Cash is king. So those who had cash probably were able to buy not only stocks, but houses and businesses at 40, 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar, and then ride the wave from that bottom neck to the next top of the hill. And I think that'll be a good wave, but it probably won't be immediate. And that's why we're doing everything we possibly can for clients to see what kind of loss can you accept. That's number one, and then number two is to look at the current portfolio to see how did it perform, both in 2018, right, fourth quarter, and then let's go back to 2008. And that's where it becomes very interesting because people often wake up and go, well, wait a minute, I can live with an 8% loss, but now I see my portfolio, when the market was off 37%, my portfolio was off over 40. That's not manageable. I don't want to do that again, especially when we're going to start taking withdrawals.
Then
that would be the next piece of the puzzle to see how can you, design a portfolio that actually performs within your loss parameters, where you can see 0.002 maybe, 0.08 for sure, fourth quarter 2018 for certain, where the market was off, whatever it was, but your account held up better so that, if we're off 60%, what do we need? 150% to get back to even? If we're off 20%, we need 25%. I'll take option B.
Hey, if you remember, there's certain truisms.
Yeah, it might happen.
And if you remember, before the Great Recession, the number one truism in investing is that home prices always go up. All right. And for a period of time, 3-4 years, they didn't go up. They went way, way down. But now they're up to near record levels. But I don't think people have forgotten that. The other one that we've seen over and over again, John, is that the stock market always recovers its losses and goes higher. And what if that one's not true anymore? What if they go down and they stay down?
Yeah. Yeah, very possible. I mean, let's just look at, to your point about real estate. This is a study that shows that Schumer, right, that 1900, 1940, real estate prices were underwater in America. Okay, so when people talk about real estate, what are they talking about? The last 60 years,
yeah,
where 76 million people came into the equation.
Post-World War II.
To me, you get all those folks showing up from everywhere. Prices have to go up just to accommodate all the construction you have to build. But at the same time, if that's what happened when 76 million people came into the equation, help me understand what you think is going to happen when 76 million people go to heaven and we keep the same 130 years worth of inventory.
Yeah, well, then we have the greater fool theory, the greater foreigner fool theory. I think what's been stopping the economy from going down to this point is flight capital. Flight capital out of Europe,
money.
Flight capital out of China, out of Asia. People are nervous, and regardless whether it's true or not, even if it is the Taj Mahal of Baltimore, U.S. dollar-based assets still have this cachet of being a safe haven, right?
Well, I agree. I certainly was in 08. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And that's something we should really feel good about because people want safety. And typically the U.S. government has been one of the best houses in a bad neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So that'll probably hold up just as well in the next decline in terms of the strength of the U.S. dollar.
Well, it doesn't anymore. But look, until the Chinese stop using abacuses to do their corporate accounting and government accounting, because look, you and I know that there's a lot of shady accounting that goes on in U.S. companies. But if you have half a brain and you're knowledgeable in these matters, it's easy to identify. Like, you know, you can't trust any big bank's balance sheet because there's so much off balance sheet stuff and there's so many notes that you need to be a financial genius. It's like trying to figure out whether Donald Trump paid too much or too little taxes. It's you just don't have the tools to do it. But when you look at a Chinese balance sheet and it says, oh, we got $8 billion on deposit at the Hangsheng Bank, you know, and you call the headquarters, you call the branch, and they'll tell you, yes, they do. You'll call the headquarters, and if you can talk to the right person, they'll say, oh, yeah, they do, but they owe us $12 billion, you know, and it's not on the balance sheet. Okay. You can't trust any Chinese corporate accounting. Somewhat a little bit Hong Kong companies, but it's kind of the Wild West of accounting out there. And I don't care if it's a big four accountant that's certifying, that's signing off. Unless they go to the bank and count the money, they just don't know if, and you got cross collateralized copper, you know, all of these different materials are cross collateralized. You have no idea who has the first right interest in them and how many liens are on one piece of property. You just don't know. And until they do that, they're not going to be a world leader in the economy. They're not going to be the leading economy of the world until they learn honest accounting, or at least more honest than ours, which isn't that hard, but they're not doing it now.
Right. Right.
So
these times are interesting. No question about it. Lots of things to look at and to prepare for.
Yeah. So why be poor? How'd you come up with that? And what do we find on there?
Well, I appreciate your asking. I was trying to come up with something that people could remember. And, you know, I was just bouncing ideas off of my friends to say, you know, the firm names are great. They're professional, but nobody remembers them. And you have to look it up and can't spell it right. So let's get folks to chuckle because it's not that difficult. And maybe when we're chuckling, we can actually move into the space where we can do the work. And so on our site, you'll see a riskometer up in the right-hand corner. And there's two parts to that. First, I kind of give a quick overview in two paragraphs of what I see the pros and the cons in terms of the economy. It's the bottom part that has the greatest value. And that's where folks can use this technology that you and I were just talking about and be asked four or five different questions so that they can identify for themselves, 100% customized, what kind of loss can you accept? So, you know, part of my problem with my industry, only been doing this for 40 years, is we use these terms like, Kerry, well, let's see, are you conservative, moderate, or aggressive? Does anybody know what any of those terms mean? I don't think so. So why should we use terms that nobody understands? Why don't we go to the real question? Can you stand a 50% loss? Let me show you on $1 million what that does, both in percentages and in dollar amounts. Would that be okay with you? If it is, you design the portfolio accordingly. But of course, it's a very different answer if it's, well, no, we can only live with an 8% loss. I'd go crazy if it was more than that. Okay, so let's see if we can design the portfolio to satisfy those parameters. And then you know, for example, fourth quarter 2018, market's off about 20%. When you see your accounts off 6 or 7, that's a lot less. It's still down, but probably more recoverable than being down 20. That's my point, okay? Because if it is long-lasting, if it is 20 years, how do we limit the losses so that the recovery doesn't have to be a Hail Mary pass?
Yeah. Well, I think it's always having a plan is always better than not having a plan. Even if your plan isn't the right one, at least you can change it. But if you don't have a plan, you know, it's like they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And we've seen this more and more often throughout life. So having a plan, really important. So ybpoor.com, that's the site to go to. John, we really appreciate you coming on. Twitter feed, check us out on Twitter, at Kerry Lutz. Facebook, Financial Survival Network. The site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter. We're sending them out regularly now. John, as always, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
I look forward to it, Kerry. Always enjoy working with you. You take it easy.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.